First of all, I want to say Blessed Father's Day, especially to our Heavenly Father. And then to you, all fathers, those of you who love and lead your family, keep this question in mind as you listen to this message from 1 Peter 3. Why did Peter dedicate 6 verses to the wives and only 1 verse to the husbands? The answer might surprise you. Stay tuned.
Warning, warning, warning. This message is dangerous to your flesh, because next to the subject of money, the subject of marriage relationship is very hard and explosive for a pastor to handle. But since I only tell you what the Scripture says, I pray that you not only be challenged, transformed, but be blessed in the process. What really compounds the problems in our society when it comes to marriage and husband-wife relationship is that there are so many conflicting voices on the subject. There are so many self-made experts on the subject. There are so many opposing views on the subject, so many arguments over the subject. And that is why when it comes to the home and the marriage of a transformed identity, those who have identity being transformed in Christ, you can and you should go no further than the Word of God. Amen? The God who made us, the God who loves us, the God who redeemed us, the God who constantly watching over us and over every need we have, He has given us the blueprints in His Word. He given us all that we need to know in His Word. He not only provides us with the architectural blueprint, but He constantly supervising the process of building our homes and our marriages. And so, if you would turn with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 1 to 7. We are smack in the middle of the series of messages from 1 Peter, which I'm calling Identity Transformation, because that's what God desires for us. Our identity, not being our title, not being our job, not being our where we go, who we are, but to be in Christ and in Christ alone. We come to this very significant part in the middle of this series from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of the Word of God. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. Some of you perhaps thought of the question, how come that Peter dedicates 6 verses to the wives and only 1 verse to the husbands? Now, if you ask that question, that's a great question. I give you a Yusuf answer, because men have short attention span. Well, I'm glad you got the joke. Now let me give you the real answer from the Word of God to that question. The Apostle Peter, guided by the Holy Spirit, writing to these new believers in Roman society, in Roman culture. In Roman culture, they were expecting the wife to always follow the husband's religion. If he decides to add one, two, or three or more gods to the household gods, she goes along. Women did not have much of a say back then until the Christian faith came in. And please make no mistake about it, the Christian faith is the women's liberation faith. Amen. And so Peter spends 6 verses speaking to the Christian wife who has an unbelieving husband. And for the believing husband, when he comes to the Lord first, he only tells him, you need only one thing. A believing husband needs to do one thing. It's in verse 7. I'm going to come to it in details. That the husband is to be thoughtful, caring, supportive, nurturing, sensitive, and considerate. That's all. That's it. It's not much. But in reality, if you examine the scripture closely, you're going to find that Peter gives more responsibility in one verse to the husbands than the 6 verses to the wife. Now that you know why, it's 6 verses, verses 1, we just look at the passage. There are 4 things that I want to share with you. For those of you who are taking notes, I'm going to speak a little slowly so you can write them down. 4 things I want to share with you from this Word of God. A believing wife does not need to use words in her witnessing to her husband. That's verses 1 and 2. Secondly, he is speaking to a believing wife married to an unbelieving husband. He's saying your inner beauty of character is your greatest strength. Verses 3, 4, and 5. Thirdly, he says your submission and obedience to God will set you free from fear. Verse 6. And then verse 7, the secret of blessing is in the husband's knowing and serving his wife. All right, let's unpack this. First of all, verses 1 and 2, you don't have to use words in your witnessing to your unbelieving husband. Likewise, wives, submit to your husbands. I know the word submit or submission. It creates heart palpitation. In fact, I know there are some people that I used to know in my old church where they used to hyperventilate at the word submission. But the Bible also said that we are to submit to one another. They leave that out. You see, when the Bible said in Ephesians, for the man to love his wife as Christ loved the church, he is placing the onus on the husband. Because a person can submit without loving, but you cannot love without submitting. And here Peter is saying that sometimes when a new believer, like a new believing wife, in their zeal, in their vim and vigor, in their delight in the salvation of the Lord, they are anxious for their unbelieving husbands to come and experience the same thing. They want them to experience forgiveness. They want them to experience the peace of God. They want them to experience this inexplicable love of God through Jesus Christ. And so in their zeal, they can end up, please excuse the expression, nagging their husbands. Hear me right on this one. Since conversion and since salvation is a God thing, it's a God thing in its timing, it's a God thing in its circumstances, it's a God thing in the circumstances surrounding salvation, and therefore, he is saying, you need to trust God with your husband's salvation. You need to trust God with all of your heart instead of harping on him. Your harping at him will not speed the timing for their salvation. You beating him over the head with it is counterproductive. Just trust God. Trust God's timing. Now let me stop here and have a word from the Word to the single people, young people, students, there is a word from God for you. And you need to remember this later on when you're dating and getting married. Don't forget it, okay? You can write it down if you want to. Very simple. Don't marry an unbeliever. That's it. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, don't become unequally yoked, because that's going to be unbearable. Now, remember this when the time comes, okay? If you start dating an unbeliever thinking that you're going to change him or you're going to change her, think again. If you get involved with an unbeliever with the hope that you might convert him or her, what you're doing is you're putting God to the test. You have to understand that Peter speaking to an unbelieving couple who's one of them, the wife, came to Christ first. Always remember the context. And so you don't have to use words in your witnessing to your unbelieving husband. Secondly, he says, your inner beauty of character is your greatest strength. I know every culture and every age, and I lived in 3 or 4 of them. In every culture, every age, they have their own idea of what beauty is, okay? Today in America, the unrelenting pressure on young women is unbelievable. I shudder when I see the unrealistic pressure that women are under today. I really do. I mean, they want women to wear size 2 and have size 50 in confidence. It's unrealistic. And that is why when your identity is being transformed by Christ, in Christ, your confidence should be in Him alone. Back in Peter's day, Roman women spent untold hours braiding their hair. They really did. It was the thing to do. And not only braid the hair, take a long time in braiding it and doing different styles, but they stick gold and silver in it. They do, and wear all kinds of jewelry. As a matter of fact, there are some historians who have said that sometimes a wife would have the entire family net worth on her hair. And that's why he's saying what he's saying here. So what is the principle that we need to learn for us today? Listen carefully. Modesty and simplicity in dress, not to attract people's attention and make them envious. Simplicity. Paul addresses this problem of being dressed to kill, particularly in worship, in church. He does that 3 times. He does it in the Corinthian church, and he does it to Timothy in his writing. Why this dress to kill when you go to church should not be even thought about? Because the emphasis when you go to church, the focus should be Jesus and not the provocative dress that takes men's eye off Jesus and on you. That's really the principle here. And so first, you don't have to use word in witnessing to your unbelieving husband. Secondly, your inner beauty of character is your strength. And thirdly, your submission to God will set you free from fear. Will set you free. Look at verse 6 with me. Now, I want to remind you of the message before last. When Peter said, for a transformed identity in Christ, it is manifested by all of us, every single one of us, young, old, everybody. We become a blessing. We become a blessing to our country. We become a blessing to those in authority. We become a blessing to our employer. We become a blessing in the workplace. We become a blessing in our community, in our homes. Remember that? How? By our submission to the law of the land, to one another in marriage, and to a spiritual authority, and so forth. But listen carefully, because you have to understand this. I told you then, and I'm explaining it again now, that in the Word of God there are levels of submission. Submission to God is higher than submission to the law of the land and those in authority. So, if the law of the land forbids you from obeying the Word of God, you say what? No. See, there's a level of submission. Then the submission to government authority is above submission to your employer. And so if your boss asks you to do something illegal, you say what? And here it says the same thing to wives. Submission to God comes above your submission to your husband. So if your husband asks you to sin, what do you say? Verse 6, if you do right, that is submitting to God, then you have nothing to fear. Peter is saying that a believing wife in the Roman culture or any culture, when you are living in obedience to God, when you are living in obedience to the Word of God, you will have joy in ministering to your unbelieving husband. If you place God first, if you place God's Word in its rightful place, then your unbelieving husband will be a blessing to you, even though he's not a believer. If you honor God first, if you honor God's Word, then you will have confidence and inner peace which the world can never understand. And that is the bottom line here. If you fear God, you'll fear nothing else. Did you get that? If you fear God, you fear nothing else. And so he says, first, you don't have to use words in your witnessing to your unbelieving husband. Secondly, your inner beauty is your greatest strength. And thirdly, your submission to God will set you free from fear. And fourthly, and finally, and here comes the big one. Christian husbands, you must know everything that is to be known about your wife. You got that? Why? So that you may minister to her, so that you may serve her adequately. And that is to know more than just how she likes her coffee or tea. This is to know what brings her joy and what pains her. That is to know what encourages her and what discourages her, to know what lifts her up and what pulls her down, to know what blesses her and what put dreads in her life. You are to study your wife like studying for comprehensive examinations. You got to know everything about the subject. And that's what it means to live according to knowledge. In fact, that's accurate translation. That is, you know everything about her. It means that you know when she wants to talk to you and when she doesn't. And if she wants to talk to you while you're watching your favorite sports program, don't mute that darn thing, just turn it off. That's the Word of God. And 45 years also helps. Because I made my fair share of mistakes. I got a witness here. I need to tell you that living with your wife according to knowledge is not the same as pandering to your wife. Did you get that? Living with your wife according to knowledge is not the same as pandering or just going along for the sake of going along. And I'm going to tell you why this is important. It's not just same as giving in, so you just cut the discussion and you don't have to talk anymore. No. Why? Because pandering will backfire sooner or later. Pandering or just giving in to get along will not get you in absolute agreement, heart, soul, and mind. And when you don't have an absolute agreement, heart, soul, and mind, your prayers will not be answered. It's going to be hindered from being answered. Pandering or just giving in does not get your prayers answered. Listen to me. coming together in agreement. And I'm talking about total agreement. Not just, well, I'll go along with you. And I'm talking about total agreement. Is going to get God to answer your prayers. Look at verse 7. So that nothing will hinder your prayers. Here's a warning. Here's a warning. The devil knows that there is power in agreement, in prayer, between husband and wife. He knows that there is power in prayer when there's absolute agreement with two brothers in Christ or two sisters in Christ in a church. He knows that. And so what does he do? He works overtime to divide us. Divide our homes and divide our marriages and divide our families, divide our church leaders. Why? To neutralize the power of agreement and answer to prayer. When a husband and wife come in absolute agreement, heart, soul, and body and mind, on an issue that is honoring to God, consistent with the Word of God, brings glory to God, God will move with power. He will. He has. I've seen it too many times to doubt it, and I know many of you have too. But I need to warn you, the opposite is true. The book of Acts chapter 5 tells us about the husband and wife who agreed to lie to the Holy Spirit. And they both dropped dead in front of the church. Let me ask you this. What is keeping you from coming into agreement? Is it a sin in your life? Is it selfishness? Is it lack of faith and trusting in the promise of God? You know what it is, I don't. I know it is my life. You know it too. Whatever it is, will you give it up today?
Connect with Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef at ltw.org. There you can find today's message, shop the store for powerful resources, and discover how God is moving around the world. Download the free Leading the Way mobile app. Find us on Roku, subscribe to our podcasts, and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Engage with the Bible and God's global work at ltw.org. Anytime, anywhere, any place.
You and I witnessing something unprecedented. In the midst of the largest refugee crisis in history, a revival is taking place. Through your partnership with Leading the Way, many are responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're about to hear from one of Leading the Way partners who saw this firsthand. You will even see a powerful moment when a Syrian refugee comes to Christ. Watch.
Always been able to sense, even from just a review of the Leading the Way website, the stories, the emails, the journal, that the Holy Spirit is very actively involved in what's going on in the ministry of Leading the Way. Going on this trip was an opportunity for me to see firsthand that that is the case.
Walk me through kind of your initial reaction to what you felt.
The school first was very encouraging for me. You know, there were Christian teachers. Most of these children have Muslim parents. They were learning about Jesus within this camp. And if they had been over in Syria, there was no war, I don't know that would have happened. Then we went to the camps and walked in. And, you know, you read the news and you hear about how dreadful the situation is. But hearing story after story of the Lord reaching into the lives of people who are completely devoted to ISIS or Hezbollah or whatever it is that they're mixed up in, and the Lord grasping them out of it, really taught me you can't give up on people and you can't underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. There's more hope than you can imagine.
Tell me what you thought with the last family that we saw at the refugee camp.
Just hearing her tell of how terrible it was in Aleppo and how she had to flee with her children was heartbreaking to hear that her husband was missing. She didn't know where he was. But then I think she said something to the effect of, I know that there's a God because he sent you.
بتحبي تحكي له يا يسوع تعال لقلبي؟
نحكي يعني
من قلبك بتآمني إنه إذا بتآمني بالمسيح هتروحي على السماء؟
كان ما جابكم ليه اللي عندي.
Yeah. I told her you wanna pray with me and accept Jesus. She said yes. And I told her why you say yes. She said why would you all come to me if he didn't do this for me? ممكن تصلي وراي عيدي وراي لنصلي لك. احكي يا رب يسوع.
For someone to accept Christ from a Muslim background, it's not something they just say at a convenience. It's a real thing, and there's a price to be paid for that. The soil's being tilled and the seeds are falling in the right spot and being watered. There was just a realness to it and a fearlessness but not foolishness that those team members have. I think a lot of times we're overwhelmed by the magnitude of the issues that we see in the world. We wonder what's our place in that, and the reality of it is even a little gift can have a huge impact, a huge tangible impact for a family by investing in what Leading the Way is doing. A little bit of money can go a long way. Leading the Way is really at the front lines of what is probably one of the most exciting mass movements of the Holy Spirit in modern history.
You have just seen what God is doing around the world, saving the lost, equipping His believers, and upholding the persecuted. Now, if you're not part of this historic work, you can be. This month, we have a timely gift challenge opportunity. Generous partners are challenging you to match their gifts to Leading the Way. Will you say yes to this timely opportunity? We cannot do this without you. And believe me when I tell you, this is the greatest dividend-paying investment I know.
All over the world, a movement is growing. God is drawing the lost from death to life in Christ. This year, through your partnership with Leading the Way, you were there with us on the front line, proclaiming the gospel more than 12,000 times a week around the world, sharing the gospel in hard-to-reach places through the Navigator, discipling new believers in closed countries, and helping persecuted Christians around the world. Right at this moment, millions have access to the gospel thanks to you. And right now, you have an opportunity to take the gospel even further. This month, generous friends of Leading the Way have committed $500,000 to the ministry and are challenging you to match their gifts this month. With your help, that $500,000 can become $1 million for the gospel through our June gift challenge. Will you join us as we advance the gospel at this critical time? Call or visit us at ltw.org to give a generous gift today. Don't forget, this challenge ends at midnight on June 30th.
Passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth, Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef thanks you for your faithful support through your continued prayers and gifts.